Loneliness is something that people can experience even when they are around people. In fact, loneliness is the feeling simply of isolation. You can feel lonely in any circumstance, at any age, even when you're surrounded by people, even when you're in a relationship, or when you have many friends or acquaintances. Loneliness is the soul feeling isolated from meaningful human fellowship, feeling misunderstood, feeling out of place. Good people face loneliness. It's a feeling of separation. It's a feeling of distance in human relationships. Loneliness implies emotional pain or an empty feeling and a yearning to feel understood and accepted by someone. In your Bibles, turn over to Psalm chapter number 25. Psalm 25, I want you to look at verse number 16 tonight. Psalm 25, verse 16. The Bible says here in this verse, "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted." Here the psalmist was admitting something before God. He was admitting that he was desolate, or the word is lonely, or the word is isolated, or the word is feeling disconnected from others. A recent Gallup poll said 4 out of 10 Americans admit to frequent feelings of intense loneliness. Loneliness isn't a sin, it's a byproduct of being human. Did you ever think of this thought, that we are made in God's likeness? And why did God make man? Why couldn't God be content with just making the animals? Because God wanted fellowship. In God, part of God's image is that God is a God of fellowship. He is a God of relationship. And so God made people for relationships. He made us to hunger after fellowship and relationships. That's not a bad desire. That's a godlike desire. That's part of who God is. The Bible recognizes the role of companionship and friendship and fellowship for well-being. In fact, in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 8, it says this: "There's one alone, there's not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor, neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This also is vanity, yea, it is sore travail." Work can't substitute for relationship. Riches can't substitute for relationship. There's something within each and every one of us that desires fellowship or relationship or companionship. Do you realize in God's creation, there's one thing that he recognized that was not good? What was that? It is not good that man should be alone. He made everything, and then he said it's not good that man should be alone. God declared this as a fundamental truth of his creation, and that was before sin and its consequences ever invaded our world. God said it's not good that man should live alone. There are a number of things that are contributing to loneliness in people's lives today. One is changes in our society. An author wrote this, Collins wrote this: "As government, business, and education get bigger and more impersonal, people feel smaller and less needed." I think you would probably agree that as our society has advanced technologically, we have also taken some steps backward in respect to personal relationships. Mobility: when people have jobs that sometimes last a few years, it becomes more difficult to develop in-depth relationships. As soon as you do, it becomes necessary for some people to move on to another city or another country due to their vocation, and that affects relationships and it affects loneliness. Another contribution, another part of our society, is the decreased attendance in church. There was a time when the church was one of the most important social and spiritual places to gather in one's life. There were not other things on Sunday that competed with church, and so many people went to church. It helped with loneliness. But a lot of things have changed over the years, and less people are attending church today. And as a result, we have spiked in the problem and in the reality of loneliness. There are other sources of loneliness that I want you to see tonight by way of introduction. I think we can see them in the life of Paul at the end of his life when he was in prison. The Apostle Paul, think about him tonight. He started countless missionary churches, spoke multiple languages, was well educated, went everywhere, seemed to know everyone, wrote the greatest theological treatise of all time in the book of Romans. But Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, felt the icy chill of loneliness. He may be the Apostle Paul, but he could not escape the feeling of loneliness. In verse number 9, as he writes this epistle to young Timothy, he writes and he says in verse number 9, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." He says it again in verse number 21, "Do thy diligence to come before winter." In verse number 11, he says, "Only Luke is with me," and he goes on to talk about people that were with him that are no longer with him. He goes on to say in one verse, in verse 16, "At first answer, no man stood with me." That's a lonely feeling. You say, "Preacher, what are some of the other sources of loneliness?" We face loneliness when we feel trapped. And certainly Paul would have felt trapped literally in the prison. And Americans today are feeling more and more trapped. The walls of oppression can close around you quickly. The door of opportunities seem to close and bolt, the doors bolt shut. And we can't find the key or know how to use it to get out of the feeling of feeling trapped. Paul certainly lived there. We face loneliness when friends depart, or you might write out to the side of this thought, separation. Look at verse number 10, if you will, 2 Timothy chapter 4. "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens was with him. Titus was with him at one point, but now none of them are with him." Being separated from family and friends can bring about deep loneliness. Some desert us in favor of someone else or something else. That was Demas. Some move geographically. Certainly Crescens and Titus both went to a different geographical location. And here it seems as though Paul was saying, "I miss them. I miss their fellowship. I miss their camaraderie. I miss their like-mindedness. I miss their presence of being here." Some maybe become too enmeshed and busy with their own lives. And he mentions Priscilla and Aquila in this list. Maybe that was the case with them. And some are too sick to make the effort anymore to gather together. We certainly see that in Trophimus in this passage, where he was sent away because of a sickness. Certainly loneliness comes when friends and family depart, when there's separation that takes place between us and people we love. We face loneliness also when we face opposition. Notice in verse number 14, 2 Timothy chapter 4, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil." Being opposed and resisted and misunderstood is a lonely place to be. The temptation when you face these feelings is to be withdrawn. Draw yourself back into a shell like a turtle might do, and put up walls in your life. But understand that temptation only makes you more lonely. You see, there's a lot of sources where loneliness comes from. Here he said, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil." We face loneliness when we face rejection in our lives. Verse number 16, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." We face loneliness when we face rejection. Some are living in rejection today, and with that comes a loneliness. We face loneliness when we focus on the past. There's always a temptation to focus on the highlights of the past and compare it with the lowlights of the present. Oh, I'm sure as Paul was reflecting in prison, "Boy, I remember the day when I could travel freely to churches and be able to build up the believers and be able to preach the Word of God." But Paul couldn't do that in that day. He could reflect when the team was with him, and they were serving God, and they were moving forward together, but now only Luke is with him. It used to be this way, but now it's another way. If only things were like when they were, and you look back into the past, and the highlights of the past, and you compare it to the lowlights of the present, my friend, those are times, those are thoughts, those are situations in our lives where loneliness can grow within us. I think it's interesting that Paul requested for Timothy to come and visit him. May I say, during these days where we have more restrictions than normal, it is vital that we as a church take interest in those that might become lonely. Lonely. We face loneliness in transitions and seasons of life. I think it's interesting that Paul wrote to Timothy, and the second time that he said, "Do diligence to come shortly unto me," he said, "Come before winter." I wonder if Paul knew that he would face a bigger battle with loneliness in the winter months. Oh, some people face loneliness in different seasons of life. For others, it may be another season. Maybe a season of memories that come around the holidays. It may be a season when all the kids have left the house and there's lonely feelings. Life has changed. I'm in a different season of life all of the sudden. It may be a season where you feel cooped up because of sickness, or even in this season with the situation of the coronavirus, there have been people in our church that for months have not been able to make it out to service because of health conditions that go on and on. Beware, those are times where loneliness can set in. Loneliness is not itself a sin. For Jesus on the cross said this, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Seeming to cry out in loneliness on the cross. Remember, his disciples fell asleep. One of them denied him. He's on a lonely cross and God the Father has forsaken him. "Why hast thou forsaken me?" May I say, loneliness in itself is not a sin, but long-term loneliness is a choice. Loneliness becomes a sin when I choose to indulge in it and it controls me and I ignore the biblical prescription for it. Tonight, I want to give you 5 triumphant truths to help you deal with loneliness. People try to deal with loneliness in so many different ways. Some withdraw and get depressed. That's how they deal with it. Others become a workaholic and just pour all their time into their work, running from loneliness. Others become a shopaholic, trying to buy stuff to feel better. Others eat stuff to feel better. Others have an affair and go in the wrong direction morally to fill this empty void in their heart called loneliness. Others turn to self-medicating with alcohol or with drugs, a fantasy world of internet, of books or TV. My friend, these are all poor substitutes. These are all unbiblical answers and take us further into the deep hole of loneliness and away from God's will. Tonight, I want to give you 5 truths that will help you on this front. Number one, the triumphant truth of adoption. The triumphant truth of adoption. It is near dusk in the Chinese province of Hunan. A poor woman is scanning the area from behind what has become known to the authorities in Hunan as a drop-off spot. It is a place where this poor woman will abandon her little girl, not out of ill intent or because she does not love her, but because she already has a son and the poor family cannot afford any more children. She's been told that her baby girl might just be lucky enough to make it to America. The mother knows that within the hours, the authorities will find the little girl and the baby will be transported to an orphanage. At least that is her hope. That is what she has been told by other women. And so she scans the area one more time. She looks into the eyes of her little girl and in her own way says goodbye as tears begin to flood down her cheeks. She lays the child in a soft area wrapped tightly And luckily, this evening will be warmer than most. Although she could be arrested, she will wait somewhere within seeing distance of her baby girl to make sure she is picked up by the authorities and is safe. She knows that when she drops the baby off, she will never be sure what will happen to her little one. Imagine the little girl, an orphan. She must be confused as her mother leaves her. Someone else picks her up. They pick her up, no name, no birthday. But someone picks that baby up. And that baby's put into an orphanage. And then that baby is adopted. And somebody claims that baby. Dear Christian, you have been claimed. You have been adopted. Turn to Romans chapter 8, if you will, in your Bibles. One of the triumphant truths in times of loneliness that you ought to run to is the triumphant truth of adoption. The Bible says in verse number 16, Romans chapter 8, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." But look up at verse number 15. "For ye have not received the spirit of a bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Ooh, I like that. I don't have a spirit of bondage again to fear if I've been adopted. Jesus Christ has laid claim to you. God the Father has claimed you as His own child, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. There is a triumphant truth for every Christian that is facing loneliness tonight, and that truth is you've been adopted. You're a child of the King. God looks and watches over you. You're not by yourself. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 5, it says, "Jesus came to redeem them that were under the law that we might receive the adoption of sons." A preacher wrote about the prisoner who had a born loser tattooed on his shoulder. I wonder who told that man that. The sad thing is that if it was written on his shoulder, it probably was also written in his heart, in the depths of his soul. The truth is that beneath all the muck and mire in our lives, the dust from whatever we've been involved in prior to salvation, the regrets, the skeletons in our closet, I want you to understand that below all of that dirt, there are these words that are written by our Lord, "You belong to me. I belong to God." And no matter what your past story is, or how much wrong you've done in your life, or how hard your life has been, etched in the core of our hearts as a Christian and understanding the truth of adoption is an orphan no more, lonely no more, by myself and without help no more. I have a Father, and His name is God. As the testimony was given tonight, He's my God. He's my Father. And if you're saved, He's your Father. That is a triumphant truth. That is something you ought to run to. When you sense that feeling of loneliness bearing down in your soul, you ought to run to the truth. Wait a second. I'm not going to park there in the lonely ditch. I'm going to park in the truth that I've been adopted by God. Wonderful truth. Second truth I want to give you tonight is the triumphant truth of access. Of access. You ever been to a place where you were denied access? Maybe you remember going to school as a child and there were a bunch of children gathered around and you were a child and they were talking about a secret and you wanted to come in and hear the secret and were pushed out. You didn't have access. Everybody else had access to the secret, but you didn't have access to the secret. I felt this a little bit the other day when in the hospital I was told that I could not come and visit anybody from our church that went into the hospital. I was in to visit someone for surgery. I got in just in time, but on my way out they said the hospital's under lockdown. I said, "Ma'am, I'm a pastor." I said, "I have members that come in for surgery and have to come to the hospital for different things." And She said, well, let me check with the authorities. She checked with the authorities and she said, I'm sorry, that applies to you. And I walked out of the hospital feeling like I had no access to those in our fellowship that would go in to the hospital. For those that are lonely, there's a truth to find triumph in, to find joy in, and that is, as a believer in Christ, you have unrestricted access to God. Romans chapter 5, turn there in your Bibles, if you will. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Triumphant truths for lonely people. We not only have the triumphant truth of adoption, we have the triumphant truth of access. Here's what the Bible says. Therefore, being justified by faith, verse number 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. If you're sensing loneliness in your heart tonight, you say, preacher, I have been in this for some time, or preacher, it has just swelled in my heart. It seems to have taken over my heart even in the past week. What should I run to? You ought to run to the truth of adoption, but you ought to run to the truth of access to God at any time. Anytime you have access, unrestricted access to the throne of God Himself. What a great truth. A truth to rejoice in, that you have access and I have access. I could spend more time there, but because of time, let me take you to triumphant truth number 3, the triumphant truth of awareness. Turn to Psalm 68. Often a lonely person may think, does anybody know? I wonder if anybody even knows that I'm lonely or feeling lonely. Oftentimes a lonely person may have this thought cross their minds, or their mind, and that is, does anybody care? Does anybody know? Does anybody care? In Psalm chapter 68, the Bible says in verse number 5, speaking of God, He is a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows, is God in His holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. I want you to know tonight that one of the things you can find comfort in times of loneliness, and one of the truths that you ought to run to that will help to bring you out of this, is that God is aware of your loneliness. Here He says He's a father to the fatherless. What's a fatherless? That's a child without a father. That's a lonely child. That's a child that's missing someone very important in his life. And the Bible says that God is a father. Oh, He knows and is aware of every child without a father or parent. God is aware of that. The Bible says He's a judge of the widows. Not meaning that in a bad sense. Meaning that in the sense that God's going to make sure that He takes care of the widows. Widows are people that live alone. God says, I'm aware of that. One of the triumphant truths you ought to run to in times of loneliness is the timeless truth and the triumphant truth that God is aware of all those that are lonely. He says, He taketh the solitary and He putteth them in families. I think one of the great blessings of a local church is that God can take lonely people, people that live by themselves, people that are without help, and guess what? Put them in a Bible-believing local church. He setteth the solitary, the Bible says, in families. Brethren, may I remind you tonight, as a local church, we are a body, but we are also a family. Thank God for this truth that God is aware. He's well aware of your loneliness. There's great triumph. There can be great rejoicing in the fact that God does not look past the lonely person. Sometimes we as people look past lonely people. We get our days full. Boy, we get running and we lose track. We forget about somebody. But God does not. People of God, no less than Job, when he lost his children, had to be lonely. Noah, when he was rejected as the preacher of righteousness, had to face loneliness. David in a cave certainly faced loneliness. Elijah under the juniper tree certainly faced loneliness. John on the Isle of Patmos had to face some loneliness. But God was aware of all of those situations. And God is aware of your loneliness as well. At different points in his life, Scripture mentions that Jesus faced those same things. came unto his own, and his own received him not. Must have left a lonely feeling. No room for him to lay his head, the Bible says. Must have been a lonely feeling. Cross must have been a lonely feeling. He can be touched. He's aware of your loneliness. Fourthly, the triumphant truth of appreciation. Turn to, back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. When we go back to Paul in prison, facing the daunting season of loneliness in his life, let's observe what he turned to. He says in verse number 11, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." It seems that Paul had a greater appreciation for Luke at this time than maybe any other time in his life. Hey, everybody else has left, but Luke's here. Thank God for Luke. And then he says, "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Wait a second. This is John Mark. What do we know about John Mark? John Mark left the ministry, did he not? In Paul's missionary journey, there's a statement that tells about John Mark no longer with them. We don't know why. We don't know why he left. But in fact, it came to the second missionary journey, and Barnabas took John Mark, and Paul took Silas, and now Paul's at the end of his life, and he could have had bitterness at John Mark in a time of loneliness, but instead he had appreciation, and he said, "Hey, bring Mark. He's profitable for the ministry." If you're facing a time of loneliness, let it be a time of renewed appreciation. If you're lonely, take time to appreciate someone. Take time to value what they have meant to you. Take time to appreciate those who have been with you on dark days or have told you they are praying for you. It's important that we run to the triumphant truth of appreciation. That's what Paul did. Look at all the names. If you don't have time to go through every verse here, but look at all the names that Paul is mentioning as he's in the prison. Boy, he's thinking of people that he's worked with and served with and are faithfully serving God even in that day. And he says, "Salute these people." Paul ran to the truth of appreciation. We need to run to the truth of appreciation. And lastly, you say, "Preacher, what is the last triumphant truth in times of loneliness?" And I would argue from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, the triumphant truth of anticipation. Of anticipation. If you are living in the cave of loneliness, look for good things in your cave. Here's what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 17. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me." He could see God when he couldn't see hardly anybody else around him. He could see what God was doing. First of all, God was with him. Secondly, he says, "and strengthened me." Thirdly, he got his eyes on others. "Man, God has used me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Boy, I'm in prison today, but I can look and see God's been with me, and he's strengthened me, and he's delivered me, and he's used me for his glory, and the gospel has gotten to the Gentiles. Hey, it's not all bad. Wonderful, wonderful truth. You say, "Preacher, where is the anticipation?" Look at verse 18. "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Paul said from the prison, it only gets brighter from here. I may be lonely today, but I know this: the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Dear Christian, where you're at right now, God is going to make things better. The future is bright for the believer. In your times of loneliness, do you give up and accept this is the best your life will ever get? Or do you look forward with confidence and anticipation toward the fulfillment of God working in and through you, in the lives of others? Do you look for his preservation? As I close the sermon, I must ask you if you're dealing with loneliness. Could be a dungeon. Might be a deep hole that you feel that you can never climb out of. Might have come as a calamity this week. Never had these feelings as strong as I have them this week, preacher. God has triumphant truths for you. Tonight, maybe the Holy Spirit has identified a source of loneliness in your life, but He has also magnified the truths to overcome it. God has truths for lonely people to hold on to. Like King David tonight, in your home tonight, maybe you need to cry out to the Lord and say, "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate, for I am lonely."
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.